Okay, everyone, hello and welcome to another episode of the NBL Bucket Podcast. First things first, this is, we've had Merry Christmas to everyone out there. I've just had Christmas and Boxing Day, so that's why the podcast is a little bit late going up. Let's just jump right into it. So it was round 10. The first game of the round was on Thursday night, and it was Cairns versus Sydney. I won't go into this game too long. Cairns lost this one 70-81. If you look here, I didn't actually watch this game. I don't watch Cairns games. They don't play well enough to deserve that treatment. First quarter, Cairns were up 5 points, 20-15. And then in the second quarter, Cairns scored 14 points to Sydney's 30. And then it just never really looked like they were coming back from there. Cairns shot 6 of 28 from 3-point in this game, 21.4%. Sydney, on the other hand, 8 of 20, 40%. That was kind of where the game was lost. Free throws, again, Cairns 14, makes 23 attempts for 61%. Sydney 17 of 21, so 81%. You look at just those two stats alone. So if Cairns had shot the same 3-point percentage as Sydney, they would have got an extra 15 points. They would have made 11 three-pointers for an extra 15 points. And if they'd shot as well as Sydney from the free-throw line, they would have got an extra 4 points. That's 19 points. So they would have run away big winners. So you can see where, you know, even if they hit their foul shots, this game becomes, you know, under 10 and, you know, a chance. And just hit a couple more threes and we're in a game. Scorers for this one, Julius Randle was probably the big guy on the day, 22 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 43% from the field, 9 of 9 free throws. So it was really putting Melo Trimble on skates, who had 14 points, 7 assists, 54.5% from the field, and then, but he had 5 turnovers. As I said, didn't watch him. Don't know how he got those turnovers, but he did. And then the next one for Sydney was Andrew Bogut, 10 points, 15 rebounds, 3 offensive rebounds, 6 assists, a block, 50%. You know, again, a game where he just mopped up the backboard and passed the ball well. And then as a late inclusion, you had Kickett with 13 points, 8 rebounds, 83% from the field. So not a lot of resistance. Let's move on to the next game. Friday was New Zealand versus Illawarra. New Zealand destroyed 96-79. So a handy little 17-point win. Really, New Zealand got out to a great start, 22-10. And just never look back. Sean Long was the big guy in this one. 26 points, 13 rebounds, 71% from the floor, 2 blocks. Just dominated. And actually caused Illawarra to make a big shake-up to their starting five against Perth. But we'll just talk about that later on in the round. Now, Friday, later on that day, we had a very good game, Brisbane versus Perth. Brisbane went on to win this one 93-86. This marked the third consecutive loss for Perth, who'd also lost to Melbourne and Sydney. What's funny is Perth had a lead of 14 points at one stage in this game and then just went on to blow it. Perth's bench continues to struggle, combined for 5 points, 3 turnovers, 1 offensive rebound, which is normally the hallmark of their bench. Their bench comes in with activity defensively and on the boards. Just didn't do it. They shot 2 of 8 in 34 minutes. So it's not like they didn't get any time. Like, they had pretty much a whole game, or at least, you know, 3/4 and a half to do something that didn't happen. Tarico White continues to struggle for Perth. He didn't have a great game in the two preceding this loss. He played 31 minutes. He had 17 points, 37.5% from the field. Only 2 free throw attempts. 3 turnovers, 0 assists. Brisbane outscored Perth 5 points in the third and 8 points in the fourth. So they just hit big shots. They just played well. Perth were only plus 4 in offensive rebounds, which is quite a lot. But for Perth, they're a team that limits turnovers, gets offensive rebounds, gets second shots, because they're not a hugely talented offensive team outside, obviously, Cotton, Brand, Kay. 22-14 in assists in favor of Brisbane. So, you know, that's quite a sizable mark. That's 8 points, 16 points difference off passes. And most of that comes down to Lamar Patterson, who's just a great little setup guy. 22-5 in bench points. I spoke about that. Perth only had 5 off the bench. 44-26 in points in the paint. Bairstow was pretty good. To end the third, Brisbane had a nice little back-to-back threes from Turangi and Cam Glidden, and then Steindl hit one back. So it was a matter of guys making shots this game, because it was quite high scoring, especially for Perth, even at 86. So I watched the fourth quarter, and you know, this is where this game was won, the fourth quarter, and this is what it's going to come down to for Brisbane and Perth. They're really good teams, and they're going to be there late in playoffs, and it's going to come down to who makes shots. You can play all the defense you want in the world, but when guys are hitting shots, they're hitting shots. So first of all, the starting lineup that Trevor Gleeson went with to start the fourth was Bryce Cotton, Vague, Steindl, Damian Martin, Nick Kay. Whereas Brisbane started Bairstow, Kendall, Jason Kidd, Glidden, Turangi. Cotton hit 6 points to start the fourth, and it looked like Perth were going to do it. He hit a 2-1, and then a 3-point shot. He had 10 points in the quarter to try and pull something out for Perth. At the 5:20 minute mark, Brisbane go ahead on a Greg Heyer dribble straight into a press in the corner. I mean, this was a really bad looking play, and if you've got the app and you want to watch the replay, go to 5:20 left in the fourth. Greg Heyer takes an inbound pass, puts on his right hand. His defender is channeling him right to the halfway mark and the out of bounds. He just walks right into it. He's met by a double team. He makes a mistake. He throws it away, and it's literally picked up, I think, by Cam Glidden for a dunk at the other end, and it just totally brought that Brisbane crowd into the game, and you could feel it. When that putt play was made, when Greg Heyer probably shouldn't have been in the game at that point, you know, he's welcome to start the fourth or play a little bit early, but by the 5-minute mark, he shouldn't be there. Go to your starters. You know, they're short quarters. Starters can run through a game, a fourth quarter, from, you know, the 7-minute mark. It shouldn't be a problem. And it looked really bad. And the momentum was swung. And then you had a couple of bad ball handling errors like that, not only from Greg Heyer, but then also later on from Martin. And where they would just bring the ball at the court and got picked or plucked or drove into the wrong spots and got under pressure and threw it away. Perth went scoreless in the last 2:22, which is quite bad. Mika Vekona was so savvy in the fourth. Rebounds, defense, I think he got a steal or two. Had some bad layup misses that looked really bad, but the game was kind of done by that point. I just got here on my notes. Patterson was so soapy and sleek on Damian Martin. Damian Martin looked like he was really having trouble with Lamar Patterson. And that's not a knock on Damian Martin. He's a good defender, but Patterson's just that little bit bigger and just so herky-jerky that he just kind of threw poor Damian Martin off a bit. Bairstow was big in this fourth quarter, had a couple of nice scores, and in their lead-up to getting it back. Tirico White, though, I hate to seem like I'm hammering on this guy, but he had a horrible turnover in the last minute on an underhanded give pass. He was at the top, caught it, went to just sort of, you know, underhand the ball and hand it off to a guy as they cut over him, sort of like a handoff shell pass, and it just totally got knocked off him, and it looked really bad. So Perth had 5 turnovers in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. That Greg Heyer one I mentioned before, Damian Martin had one, Tirico White had that bad underhanded pass, Angus Brandt had a bad pass out of the post that got picked off, and then Tirico White, which doesn't really count because he kind of got a long rebound and lost balance and fell over. But there were 5 turnovers that I think 3 of them, maybe 3 or 4 of them, went straight back for scores. So it was like they lost the possession and they gave up the score, and that Brisbane crowd just got into the game, and that was really it. They just lost momentum. They didn't play terribly. They missed a couple of shots, but the shots weren't really great ones. They struggle a bit in the fourth. But anyway, I've just got here on my, that's how they lost it. Turnovers and getting the crowd back in the game. Going forward for Perth, in my notes, I've got, I want to see this lineup. I want to see Bryce Cotton control the ball more. I want to see him, you know, I want to see Angus Brown and Nick Kay pull the ball out of the hole, out of the basket, out of the net, and give it straight into Bryce Cotton, who's bringing it up. But I want to see this lineup. Cotton, Tirico White, Steindl, Brandt, and Kay. You know, that's their best five. Steindl is a tough one. His defense is not great, and he's kind of a bit of hot or cold. But I want to see Cotton high pick and rolls with those two big, beautiful bigs they've got. Hit that high pick, and then those two big bodies, they just run straight at the basket. And I don't want to talk about other teams here, but someone like an Alex Pledger just hit a hard pick. He's a big, big body. He's not particularly fast or attractive to watch, but he makes a pick. He stands there, he takes the contact, and then he just dives straight at the front of the hoop and puts his hands into the, you know, puts his hands up ready to catch it and basically trails him through the net. I've just got here a high pick and roll with Cotton, but also those two bigs with nice hands. Like Angus Brandt and Nick Kay have nice hands and decent secondary playmaking ability. They can make a catch off an early pick and roll, catch at the foul line, make a dribble or make a straightaway pass. They've got the vision for it, and I want to see Perth do that a little bit more. But just them crashing, just taking that big guy right down to the paint, freeing up that secondary dribbler. Maybe it's Tariqo White, maybe it's Bryce Cotton again or someone else, just to come through. Just get something going for them, because they really struggled in this one. That's that one. Moving on. The next game was Saturday, and Adelaide played Cairns. Again, I didn't watch this one, so I just looked at the kind of the stats and the highlights. Adelaide left a lot of points at the line. They're not a good foul shooting team. And they shot 18 of 31 for 58.1% from the foul line. It's just not good. Teams don't do that. You know, they're easy points, and you can't leave them there. 29-7 fast break points in favor of Adelaide. That's 22 more points that they just got rebounds or steals or whatever and just pushed the ball, and Cairns weren't keeping up. And a young team like Cairns, that kind of spells trouble. Like, what are you doing when a young team doesn't have that hustle? Anyway, as I said, I didn't see him, so maybe I'm throwing him under the bus unfairly. And I've got here in my notes, these two stat discrepancies just reek of a lack of focus or immaturity, and two, laziness. And I don't know which one it is. I don't watch their games. They're not good enough for me to do that, but I'll have to tune in one time and see, try and pick out where I'm going wrong with them. A good thing with sports bet is I want to be the guy to predict when Cairns are going to win next. I'll do it in the next podcast. We're around 11. I want to see when they're going to get a win next, if at all. What they need now is a schedule loss. They need to be getting a team like Perth, a team that's got a really tough schedule, a lot of travel in the next couple of days, and then they catch them at the right time, because they just seem to lose to any team that's got their brings their good or best game with them. Anyway, that loss there marks 13 in a row for Cairns, who I believe won their first game of the season, and since then haven't won a damn thing. Next, let's go on to Sydney versus Melbourne, which was played on Sunday at 2:50. Sydney lose this one 70-75. Sydney were the favourite, $1.65, and Melbourne $2.25. Sydney were 10-4 coming into this game, Melbourne 10-5. So it kind of set up like who's going to be the number one going forward this round. Sydney couldn't get it done. I'm embarrassed to say I actually didn't watch all of this game. I only watched the fourth quarter. I wanted to watch this game. I'd put time aside, but my internet was terrible and I couldn't see it on the app. So I only watched the fourth, which is where this game is kind of won, because I think they were kind of tit for tat through the quarters. I think maybe Melbourne had the better of the first quarter and then Sydney the second. So I just wanted to see what happened in the fourth, because there was a big point discrepancy in the fourth. And what I got from the fourth quarter was... there was a no call on Randall at the 3:09 mark. And then the ball got loose to David Barlow, who hits a three. So it should have been a foul call that he went to the line on. He got hit in the lane. So obviously Sydney lose that too. Barlow then hits the three. It's a 5-point swing and it takes Sydney down 64-68. I think it was Shane Heal who called this game along with Steve Carfino. Just to pause for a moment on that. Steve Carfino, great commentator. He's one of the few commentators. And I like Corey Williams, don't be wrong. Homicide Williams, he's a good guy to listen to. He's very energetic. He's very, he says what he thinks, but he's a little bit more glamorous and a little bit more gossipy and sort of inflammatory than he is Carfino, who was constantly pointing out the little things. when guys are missing rotations, things he did or didn't like about the game, stuff that actually contributed to the outcome, not just speculation. There's a place for both, but it was just really refreshing to have Carafino at the mic, as well as Shane Heal, who I love. And Shane Heal the whole time was calling for more Bogut low posts. And Sydney had a really bad play late in the fourth, where Bogut kind of had it at the top. They did a little, you know, Randall's trying to cut off him, same with Kickett. They're trying to get something going, and Bogut's just not in a position to score. And his defender was just backed off him. It was Pledger at that time. Just backed off him two or three paces. And it just didn't look as good. But when Bogut was in the paint, he made a couple of nice little moves, little hooks in the low post. And he was passing well out of it, because he's the biggest guy in the league. Or at least he looks like it and acts like it. I want to see more of him down low or at that mid post area. But when he's way out in the 3-point line, because he hasn't got a 3-point shot, just doesn't look as good. What's important about this game is at the 2 minute and 25 second mark, it's tied up 68-68. So that's where I was paying most attention to see where Sydney lost this one. And it wasn't like they played poorly or they didn't rebound or they didn't defend. They just didn't. They didn't hit shots. They're a good team. They just couldn't get it done in this one. Again, at the 2 minute and 13 second mark, bad call on Kickett. He's called for a foul that's the weakest call in the world, and Melbourne go to the line and shoot two free throws. Only make one, but it was a bad call. Took Sydney out of the flow of the game. Really bad call. Sydney was scoreless in the last minute and a half of this game. There was a play by Kickett in the last minute and a half where he was down the lane, and he was just one-eyed at going to the hoop, and he had Brad Newley wide open in the corner. And it's those sort of plays that if you make them, you look good, like they did when they found David Ware hitting that big shot against Perth. But when you don't make him, it looks really bad, and that was one that was quite bad. And then at the 32nd mark, Kickett again missed a bunny of a layup, and that made it 70-71. The bad possession I was talking about before was at the 2 minute mark. Goulding was big. Like, he just hit a couple of big shots, and he had this particular one on Newley where he just put Newley on skates, and Newley was a step behind the whole time, and Goulding was on his left, put it round his back, leaving Newley like iced. It was like sub-zero, and put it round his back with his left hand, and then didn't actually pick it up on his right hand, did a two-handed gather, so put it round his back, take a big little jump step to the side, caught it with two hands straight into a fadeaway jump shot, and Newley was like, he contested it well to get back in position, but Goulding had... he had the hoop in his eyes. He was not going to miss it. It was a great shot. It looked really good. Lish had an off game. I don't know his stats. You can look it up on the app, the NBL app. It was just a Charlie Brown game. Like, nothing went right for him. Even late on, he had a couple of open threes. He had a bit of a putback attempt. It just wasn't his night, unfortunately for him. Here's the big stat that I think stands out as to why Sydney lost this one. In the fourth quarter, Melbourne shot 16 free throws and made 11 of them. Now, I tallied this up on the stats. I hope I'm correct. I'm pretty sure I am. They shot 11 of 16 from the foul line. Sydney, none. 0-0. And the question there is, Sydney had a couple of bad calls against them. I think Jerome Randall was the only guy to really attack the hoop and get a decent sort of shot contest that should have been called a foul, so they should have had two foul shots. But for Melbourne to shoot that many, and I only noticed this stat after the game, so I don't actually know what led to them getting that many free throws. They were aggressive, but I think more than anything, thinking back on the game, was that Sydney were tired and were playing defense with their hands and not their feet. Sounds really under 10 stuff, but it's just the truth. I just think their older guys and their players had a big week. Melbourne, Perth, New Zealand, customs, pork chop, all that stuff. And they were just, that fourth quarter, they were slowed. They just weren't into it as much as Melbourne were. So I'm going to have to watch that fourth quarter again. And if you're a real fan, go back and watch it and see. Was it Melbourne being the aggressor as to why they got the calls? Or was it Sydney being a step slow as to why they got calls? I can't really recall. I think it's the latter. All right, and then let's move on from that. So Sydney lose 70-75. Let's move on to the next game, which was Sunday. Illawarra versus Perth. Illawarra, amazingly, at home, win this one, 81-77. I've got my notes here. 2 seconds. Here it is. So, as I said before, Illawarra had that bad loss to New Zealand, just got really thumped. And so Rob Beveridge made a change to his starting five, changed the whole starting five. Went with David Anderson, Brian Conklin, Kevin White, Daniel Greeter, and Emmett Nahr, the two young guys. And Greeter, I really like. He attacks the hoop well. He's raw, but I like him. However, you look at the stats, the minutes for the starters were similar to normal. And they seemed to respond. The starters came out with a little bit more energy. Cedric Jackson was really down in the last, certainly in the game against Sydney at home when they kind of got beat up. And he, you know, was good. He was good in this game. But the day belonged to David Anderson, 21 points, 61% from the field. And Todd Blanchfield, 19 points, 72% from the field. Todd Blanchfield seriously has one of the nicest looking jump shots in the league. I think Bryce Cotton and him have really beautiful form on the shot. I really like Blanchfield. For a local, he's a really good player. Perth took a 10-point lead in the first quarter, but in the second half, Illawarra scored 43 points to Perth's 27, and Perth only had 9 points in the fourth. Perth, interesting thing I heard from the commentators is Perth had been on the road 10 straight days. So the question is, do they lose this out of fatigue or skill? Bit of both. Bryce Cotton had 21 points, had a tough time getting to that point tally though. 6 of 18 from the floor, 33%, 3 of 11 from the 3-point line, 27%. So his legs just weren't under him. He had 7 turnovers. He's that good a player that he doesn't make mistakes like that. Certainly not against Illawarra, who are a good defensive team, but not amazing. Those 7 turnovers reek of physical and mental fatigue. Tom Jervis and Mitch Norton. Tom Jervis had 12 points off the bench. Mitch Norton had 9 for Perth. So they got some bench scoring for these guys. That's a category, obviously, I've spoken about. They struggled. Man, I don't want to do this again, but Tariqo White, poor guy, 10 points, 35%, 0 of 7 from downtown. I don't know whether he's, it's not a matter of energy with this guy. I'm not rubbishing his talent or his desire or anything like that. I think he's a very good player. It's just not working. They need to really get him going at the foul line. I'm a big believer in, he's a shooter predominantly. Get him some stuff low, close to the hoop. Let him feel some defensive bodies, get fouled, get to the foul line. See the ball going in an easy way. Because right now he's very, very happy to catch and shoot off the dribble, which looks nice, but it's just not dropping for him. And I'm just trying to think up ideas to get him not to struggle because he's a good import. I think he can play in this league. He's just had a bad thing. So Illawarra, we go to the fourth quarter. Illawarra down 2 points. Vague is in to start the fourth quarter for the Wildcats, a bench player for them. I've just got here in my notes, you can't do that. You just can't do that. He's a good, decent development player, but he's not ready for fourth quarters. And I mean, not a minute of a fourth quarter. Don't do it. He missed a three. He had a bad take at the hoop in his time on the floor. He missed an open three after a late Blanchfield make. Like, he shouldn't be there. He's not ready for that kind of game. And I know they were, you know, 10 days on the road and in Illawarra and needed something off the bench to give their starters a break, but this was not the time anyway. Tariqo White had 2 turnovers in the first 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Cotton was seemingly double and triple teamed every time he caught the ball and put it on the floor. Illawarra were not concerned with anyone else. Certainly not from the perimeter, put more inside, but they were only too happy when Bryce Cotton caught the ball to double and triple team. And do a little, not an aggressive double triple team, but a sort of a hedge. And it was effective. And that's why Cotton struggled as well as fatigue, I think. Illawarra crowd was good. You know, I'm starting to really get a sense of when crowds are good in the NBL, teams get better. I think that was a big problem with Sydney and Melbourne. Melbourne have got a great crowd. Perth have got a great crowd. Sydney's crowd, it's not great. They have 12,000 people in there. You wouldn't know it was 12,000 people. You wouldn't know it. You know, you got to give. This is a call out to Sydney. I'm saying, Sydney, we got to support the Kings better. You know, be loud. They go down, they get tired. Tell them. Be loud. Be a good crowd. Moving on. Wagstaff played most of the fourth. His defensive player was leaving him for Cotton. He was the one that would. His defensive player was the one, especially double and triple teaming Cotton. That was very obvious. Cedric Jackson. I had a tweet from a guy the other week who was saying how Cedric Jackson didn't look engaged against Sydney. He hates this league. He hates the amount of contact that you get hit with at the basket and the no calls. And he was getting frustrated in this one. He had two tacks at the hoop where he was hit and he was fouled and there was no call. And that's frustrating. 5-minute scoring drought by both teams in the fourth. Perth in the fourth quarter were 2 of 18 plus 4 free throws from Bryce Cotton. 2 of 18. It's terrible. Cedric Jackson was good late. Jordan Jett was good early in the fourth. Both guys getting in the paint, drawing double teams and finding guys. Those two guys, they're not, you know, jump off the page type imports, but they are professional. They have, you know, some mediocre games from time to time, but they're guys who you want on your team, and their stats aren't huge, but their contribution is big when it needs to be. Perth, the defense and the decision making was pretty good. They just couldn't score. Like, it wasn't a matter of mental fatigue so much in this one. It was just a skill drought. Like, they just didn't, outside of Bryce Cotton, who was getting triple teamed, like, that should be mincemeat. Guy draws that sort of attention. You pass once or twice, find a guy, and that's a jump shot. It's nothing. Perth just couldn't hit him. They had open looks in this fourth quarter. Just couldn't hit him. Blanchfield hit the big three in the last minute. He caught it, snapped it. Wasn't easy. And I've just got here, big balls, exclamation mark, underline. I like that guy. I like Blanchfield very much. I'll tell you what, this was not a pretty finish. It was a scrappy, frantic last couple of minutes. The ball was pinballing everywhere for turnovers and steals. I've just got here my notes for Illawarra. Jordan Jett, Cedric Jackson, Greta, and Blanchfield were good. They were good. And that's all I've got to say about that. Four home games in a row now for Illawarra, so they're not a huge push for the playoffs because I like Brisbane and Adelaide a lot more. But, you know, four home games. They're a chance, you know, if they play really well. They can make it. As I said, I don't think they're better than Brisbane. I don't think they're better than Adelaide. And those two are ahead of them. But they'll be tough. I wouldn't want to be heading into Illawarra in the near future when they're rested and firing and David Anderson's gone well. All right, guys. So not a great round for yours truly. If you look here, I predicted I did not win many of my picks. Where was it? Hang on a second. So my picks last week, I got 2 of 6 right. And, you know, you can say, oh, that means, you know, I don't know the league so well, and maybe I don't. But what it means is this league is crazy. You know, I think we had upsets everywhere. Sydney beat Cairns in the first one. That was no upset. New Zealand to Illawarra, that wasn't an upset. Brisbane beating Perth was an upset. Adelaide beating Cairns was an upset. Melbourne beating Sydney was an upset. And, of course, Illawarra beating Perth was an upset. So, yeah, this is a great league to watch. Yeah, the NBA is the, and I always compare it to the NBA, or even the EuroLeague, like it's, you got a couple of good clubs and that's kind of it. But, you know, this league's good, and Brisbane versus Perth was testy. Those two were banging each other. That these guys don't like each other so much on opposite teams. And that's good. So I didn't go so well. Looking at the table now, so heading after round 10, heading into round 11. Top of the table is Melbourne, 11-5. Second is Sydney, 10-5. Third is Perth, 11-6. Fourth is Brisbane, 8-7. Fifth is Adelaide, 7-8. Illawarra is sixth with 7-9. New Zealand is seventh with 6-8. And Cairns, 1-13. So really, to me, those I like Illawarra more than I like New Zealand, although I think New Zealand's got more talent. You look at those top six, and it's pretty close. Top five, especially Adelaide, Brisbane, Perth, Sydney, Melbourne. They are tough games between all six of those guys. No one gives up. Let's look forward now toward round 11. So on Wednesday, on Boxing Day, we have the outdoor arena game of Melbourne versus Adelaide, which has already been played, actually. I've watched it. I don't want to reveal anything, but it's a high-scoring affair and Adelaide win. But again, you talk about upsets. Adelaide were $2.67 to win that game, and they did. Saturday, so we go from Wednesday all the way to Saturday, the 29th of December. Sydney, at home, play Brisbane. That'd be a good game. Watch that one. Sunday, 30th, Adelaide play New Zealand. Worth looking at, because New Zealand are kind of on an upswing at form, and Adelaide as well. They had a huge win. Let's see if they can back it up. Monday is Illawarra versus Brisbane in Illawarra. Brisbane are favourites, $1.65. Illawarra, $2.25. That's going to be a big one for Brisbane season. They got to win that. Illawarra kind of hanging around. That's going to be a hard-fought game. Watch that one too. And then same night, later on, Cairns play Perth in Cairns. Perth are not the favourites. It's a chance for Perth to stabilise, you know. They've played some tough teams on the road, tough schedule. They're still on the road, but the Hotman Cup's on, so they're out of the building. And so they've got a chance to just cool their jets and beat a team that they should beat. If they lose this one, holy moly. This might be the Cairns game I watch. Because if Cairns want to kind of reboot their season, they're not going to make the playoffs, but reboot their season, this is the one they want to circle in their calendar. They're at home. They haven't traveled. They're rested. I want to see a Cairns upset. I've picked Perth, but gosh, I want to see a Cairns upset. So I'm going to watch that one for that reason. Maybe just the second half. The big news this week going around is Perth using that third import. If you've watched the Trash Talk, listen to the Trash Talk podcast with Mark Worthington and Corey Homicide-Williams and a third host. I'm sorry, I've forgotten his name. Could be Liam DeSanta, I'm not sure. Santa Maria, I should say. They're talking about Perth using their third import, as they are on overtime with Cam Luke, Santa Maria, and Corey Homicide-Williams. Perth can do it. The rule is they can pay a third import. They would have to cut a player on their team and pay out his contract. Now, I'm not going to speculate who they do that to. Obviously, my vote would be for Jesse Wagstaff. He just hasn't had a good year. He's a good player. I'm sure he's a great guy, but he would be the most obvious, because I think Reece Vague and that, they're young, they got a bit more of a chance. But we'll see. The question is, will they do that? Will they, won't they? They can, and they might. And if they lose against Cairns, they should, obviously. They got it. If they lose that game, they got to change something. They got to get an injection of new blood. What else? We had the controversy about NBL timeouts and the cussing and cursing. For what it's worth, my opinion is, the question of whether the NBL is a family league or not. I would have thought the dancing girls half nude is probably less family oriented than a little bit of cussing, especially in the heat of battle and in a timeout that's very intimate and not even broadcast at the stadium. It's difficult because the games that go shows on commercial TV are in the afternoon, kids watching. I don't see a huge problem with it. I think coaches deserve and need to cuss sometimes to make a point. Keep court recording them. They're good for fans of the league, and especially the adult male audiences. I get a kick out of it, especially Joey Wright. Joey Wright talking trash with Casper Ware. I'll talk about that next week. That happened in round 11, not round 10. Sorry about getting this one out so late. Christmas, Boxing Day, you all understand. I think, gentlemen and ladies, if you're listening, that's going to do it. Looking at next round, we've done that. That's everything. So thanks for listening to episode 3, round 10 of the NBL Pocket Podcast. Obviously, we're on Apple and iTunes, so like, write a review, give stars or whatever you do. That'd be very lovely if you could. I'm going to start a YouTube channel. If you're listening to this on YouTube, obviously like and subscribe. On Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at NBL Pocket Podcast. Hoping to do a YouTube series coming up featuring some NBA 2K19 stuff that could be fun. Still just getting used to doing these round by round, and hopefully in the future I will be able to get some guests on this thing. Probably wishful thinking, but we'll see what happens. guys. Sportsbet.com.au. You can do some fun multis. This week is not really the week for it because the teams at home are the favourites and the teams that are playing away are playing weaker opponents like Brisbane and Perth. So still, sportsbet.com.au, make those multis. I do one every week for what it's worth. I've already lost this week because I picked Melbourne to beat Adelaide in that open air arena game. That was great. Can't wait to talk about that. I'll have a new pod up next Tuesday. That's everything, guys. Such a pleasure. And NBL Pocket Podcast.